This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, this is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Welcome back into The Hole Show, talking all things Denver Broncos and training camp with our guy and Broncos insider, host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright, here to set the record straight. I just, you know, what I'm seeing, Benjamin, is a bunch of little kind of nicks, injuries, not I don't want to say injuries, but some bumps and bruises. This is one of the great reasons we love to bring you on to help us out. Anything we should be worried about on the injury front?
Well, Matt Henningsen was carted off today, so that would be worrisome. Most of the other stuff has just been minor bumps and bruises, that kind of stuff. We had muscle tightness with Jalen Waddle. We had a little minor thing with Cortland Sutton. He's back out there. We had Nick Benito with a little bit of a lower leg thing. But out of an abundance of caution, they're trying to take extra days to make sure guys are perfectly healthy. They don't re-aggravate something. They feel like this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and they're taking every precaution to make sure guys don't accidentally further aggravate things.
Yeah, that would be bad news. Sean Payton leaving for the Hall of Fame ceremony. He doesn't want to come back on Sunday to any massive injury news.
Well, right. That's one of those things. You know, you just do the best you can with what you got and go with it. And, you know, he's obviously going out there to help induct Drew Brees. Talked to Rich DeRoziers from the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and he said that that speech is supposed to be a pretty good one. So I hope all the Broncos fans tune in and get a chance to watch that.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, fun preseason game last night, Benjamin. You know, a lot of people, some people get just pumped up that we have football back on the tube again, and others are like, yeah, call me when the regular season starts. But hey, for game one, that was a blast.
Yeah, for a bunch of third stringers and future insurance salesmen, we got a lot of points on the board. That was a lot of fun, right? We had drama there at the end. It was it was a lot of fun. And so I think I liked it. I saw a tweet floating around about, oh, it's a Hall of Fame game, everybody's excited, and then 20 minutes in, they're turning the TV off, and that felt like the coldest of takes, you know, when it comes to that. We love football, and, you know, if you love football, you're watching football. If you don't love football, okay, cool, whatever, but don't say you love football, and then you don't love football when it's on.
Yeah, maybe I'm not, like, every single play diving in on, you know, oh my gosh, this guy, pay attention to that guy. Probably not me, but I have it on, and I'm watching in the intense moments, and that was a fun football game to watch. So yeah, if you're a football fan, odds are that thing was on until we reached the conclusion.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, that's the thing. So it gives everybody a chance to kind of get back in the swing of things. We have a shorter preseason now, so there's not as many of these games to complain about. You know, it's meaningless and all that kind of stuff, which is sort of fascinating because, you know, in the preseason, everything matters except the final score. You know, the regular season, nothing matters but the final score. And so, you know, when you're in the evaluation phase, you're a guy that's trying to make a team. You know, you need these reps, you need these games to try to get out there and showcase that you can do it.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Sean Payton spoke a little bit about Jonah Coleman. I'm really interested to see what year one is going to look like for him. What have you seen from Coleman at this point?
Well, he's certainly a capable receiver out of the backfield. I would say that he's a better runner than R.J. Harvey. And that's, you know, I'm sure that's not saying much, but, you know, Harvey has been a great receiver out of the backfield, but Coleman's a more natural runner. He's been a running back a longer time. He was a wide receiver in high school, got converted to running back, and then he was a running back in college. R.J. Harvey was a quarterback, even into college, who converted to running back late, you know, in his collegiate career. And so, you know, I think Coleman just has more reps and understands that the running back position with a more natural affinity. I think he's going to be a big time contributor this year. I don't think that they're going to have the brakes on him or anything. You may not see him some of the early games as far as that goes, but, you know, I think what they want to do is rotate things in an effort to kind of keep J.K. Dobbins fresh. So you don't run into a situation like last year where Dobbins was really your most successful weapon on offense, and then you ground him down and he got hurt. So, I expect Coleman to have some chunks where he's very active. I just don't know if it's going to be immediately.
Do you think if you had to predict halfway through the season, Coleman leapfrogs R.J. Harvey at number two?
I don't know if they have a running back.
Doesn't really matter.
They've got a running back one in Dobbins, right? But the other guys are all like role players. Like, you know, Tyler Bidet was like the pass blocking guy, and R.J. Harvey was like the pass catching guy, and they kind of have these niche roles. And I think Coleman can do more roles. I still think Harvey's going to have a big impact out there as like the Reggie Bush style, you know, running back catching the ball out of the backfield. But I think Coleman will have more rushing yards than he will this year.
Benjamin, to quote the great Michael Scott from The Office, I'm sure you're a fan. I am not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. When I hear J.K. Dobbins pinky swearing, I don't know, did he pinky swear you, the media, that he'd play all 17 games? I get a little scared of that kind of thing, man. I'm not into like voodoo, witch doctor stuff, but that worries me a bit, that you just don't want to mess with football karma.
Well, first of all, that Michael Scott quote is legendary, and I want to acknowledge that you brought that out.
Yeah, it's
second
very
of
good.
All, I don't know. I mean, yes, he did pinky swear directly to me and looked me in the eye, so I'm expecting that beer. If he's not there for all 17 games, I'm going to collect on that. But, I don't know, man. You're talking about a guy with just a lengthy injury history at a position that gets really roughed up during a football season. I don't know if holding all 17 games is realistic, but if he makes it through 80% of the season, or, you know, he only misses 2-3 games at various different points, I think we're counting that as a win.
So what do you even do? I mean, I know these teams, they have amazing trainers. They get paid good money to try to keep these guys healthy. But, I mean, what do you do? There's not really much you can do to try to prevent injuries, especially, you know, toward a guy that's had a bunch of them throughout his entire football career.
I think you try to find a way to rotate things, you know. I think you try to find a way where he's a high usage back one week, and then you try to maybe ease off of it the next week, you know. I think you try to find ways to rotate your running back room. And I'm not saying that you create specific game plans for each running back, but kind of. You know, you find ways to make sure that guys can kind of keep their body as healthy as possible throughout the season, do what it takes if they've got an aggravation or something like that, to, you know, make sure they don't exacerbate that aggravation. Then I think you some of it is just crossing your fingers and hoping, and maybe you go to be a little suspicious at that point.
on the wide receiver side of things, you said it, like, nothing major at this stage to worry about with Jalen Waddle. Sounds like Sutton is rolling again. I always think it's a good sign when we're having most of our conversations about the Broncos, we're not really concerned about starters. You know, most of those guys have those positions locked up. We're more focused. We're going down the depth chart looking, okay, who's going to be that third wide receiver? Pat Bryant, we keep hearing a lot about. You mentioned Marvin Mims. Who do you think is going to be kind of the third guy to benefit from this Jalen Waddle addition?
Well, I think if camp's been any indication so far, we need to break out our movie ratings and rate that third wide receiver position PB-13. Opponents strongly cautioned, because Pat Bryant's been taken over, and so I love what Mims brings to the table. Unfortunately, they just don't use him as much as they should. And then for whatever reason, Troy Franklin and Lil Jordan Humphrey are still around because they have blackmail photos on someone. But, you know, as far as the rest of it goes, I think Bryant's looked really good. And he is the eventual successor to Cortland Sutton. And I think that's a very encouraging sign for him so far.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, it just seems like this group is set. I know you replace John Franklin Myers was kind of a story, and it is a story, but man, I mean, how tough is it going to be, though? You're bringing everybody back almost. We're still waiting to see what the Jonathan Cooper thing looks like, but to repeat what you've done the last two seasons with this defense, I mean, they did get better. I mean, Hufanga's ridiculous, but just how difficult is it going to be? How much pressure is there on this defense to do it again for a third year in a row?
Well, I mean, it's difficult for any team to repeat anything in the NFL, right? There's so many moving parts, the luck, the nature of injury, all that kind of stuff. The fact that Broncos have been relatively healthy 2 years in a row is darn near miraculous. So three is kind of, you know, eye-opening. But the good news is, you know, the offense is looking a little bit better. So maybe the defense doesn't have to carry the freight as much. And if the offense can put, you know, points on the board earlier in games, well, that means the defense can be able to pin their ears back a little bit. You already saw what this defense could do in terms of sack totals the last 2 years. Imagine getting more opportunities to do that because teams are throwing to catch up with you. So I think if the offense can carry its freight, find ways to, with Davis Webb, to modernize this thing, get points on the board quicker, then I think we're in for a pretty good run here.
And kind of transitioning back to the offensive side with Davis Webb, you mentioned, I asked you last week, week, if you've seen any real indicators of a Davis Webb, you know, led offense here. I heard the comment about Sean Payton that said, hey, he'd certainly be giving suggestions and mandates to Davis Webb. I don't know, man. That hit my ear wrong. Kind of like, wait a second, is he really giving the keys over, or how is that going to look?
Well, you know, I think that those of us that know that Sean Payton's air quotes decision to give the play calling to Davis Webb was not an organic one, but one that was rather dictated to him, even if he's pretending that's not the case. Him having his thumb on the scale is not surprising if you know Sean Payton. So there's that. But I will say that Webb looks like he's modernized some things. The offense uses a lot more motion. They play with more tempo at practice. Two things that have been sorely lacking from the offense the last couple of years. Sean Payton's offense, I mean, I think he's a great play designer, but there are elements of it that have been archaic. And I think that hopefully Davis Webb and him bringing these suggestions to the table and running the thing will help modernize some aspects of it.
How does that work on game day? You know, is Sean relaying something to Davis Webb first, Davis Webb going to Sean first, or is this Davis Webb is in control with that microphone, because I'm guessing Sean's still going to have the playbook and everything. Is there a fear that can get sloppy and maybe even lead to delay of game or just not getting things in, you know, sharply?
Well, I mean, that's part of the impetus behind Davis Webb having the play calling title in the first place, is because Sean Payton is getting, you know, frankly, old and slow and relaying things in, and Bo Nix is getting real frustrated with it. You know, and so I think ideally Davis Webb is going to be the primary play caller. I don't know how much Sean's going to have his thumb on the scale. We'll see. I think the idea is that Davis Webb's just calling plays and that he's relaying them in. And, you know, that's the idea here. Now, Webb's going to be on the sideline and not up in the booth, so that's an interesting wrinkle there. But we'll have to see how that goes, and we'll have to see it in games before we can really, you know, really make comment on that.
One more kind of overall AFC West question for you. I saw, you know, Andy Reid saying, yeah, there's a decent chance we don't see Patrick Mahomes in the preseason. What are you hearing as far as week one against the Broncos? Are you thinking Patrick Mahomes is going to be a go for that game?
Yeah, he's a full go for that game. Yeah. That was something we've known for a little while. I mean, I know they went out and got the other guy, but nobody's scared of Justin Field goals. And so, you know, I think end of the day, it's unless Mahomes re-injures himself, he is absolutely the guy week one.
All right, my friend Benjamin, great work as always. Love your coverage, and we'll look to catch up with you next Friday.
Absolutely, brother. Take care.
All right, man. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Well, I guess it was kind of like I've been saying Patrick Mahomes is going to play. But there are some of those, there are people out wondering, you know, hey, what happens throughout these next few weeks? Is he a full go? Reed saying as much that, yeah, he's been in everything when it comes to training camp, but we're probably not going to put him out there in the preseason, which I wouldn't either. Mahomes has been there a long enough time now where you don't need to risk that. I think the same could be, honestly be said for the Broncos. I wouldn't be terribly shocked. Training camp, one thing. Keeping Bo practicing every day, I think, is important, but I wouldn't be terribly shocked if they decide to say, we don't need to see Bo in the preseason. I'm not saying he doesn't have more work to do, but maybe that's an unnecessary risk.
If he goes past two full quarters, maybe three full quarters in total, I would be surprised, because they're not going to play him in that third game.
No.
They're probably going to give him a full quarter in this first game. Maybe, you know, a full quarter in the second one, but I don't see him doing much.
Yeah.
You want to preserve his health. People are a little worried.
I'm not even going to be upset if he doesn't play at all. I don't even think I know you got Jalen Waddle, you got Davis Webb. Maybe that's where you want to see some of those kinks ironed out. But if they were to announce that, hey, we're going to slow play this thing, we're not going to risk it.
We're the Rams.
It doesn't bug me that much. I guess I could see both sides where you would say, well, we want him to be out there and get the in-game feel with Davis Webb, but apparently these guys are tight and they know they have obviously worked together closely for the last couple of years. So there's a part of me that just wouldn't be shocked at all if they decide to say, yeah, let's not mess with the preseason or get him out there for a series or two in that first game and then call it good. 12:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. We still have clip of the day. We'll take a deep dive into the Los Angeles Chargers. Just how will this Harbaugh-McDaniel dynamic work? You got two interesting football minds, but two kind of different football minds. Will the Chargers finally win a playoff game this year with Justin Herbert. He's the best quarterback in the league that hasn't won a playoff game. So we'll get to that coming up next. Keep it here. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Did you know you can hear your favorite KFKA shows anytime? Find podcasts of Good Morning NoCo, Coach Speak, and the whole show on Apple, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.